Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I'm Caleb Meath, one of the policy officers at the Council of Deans of Health, and I'm joined today by Dr. Annette Thomas-Gregory, Deputy Dean for Quality and Partnerships at Anglia Ruskin University, and Sean Shaw, who is the Director of Teaching, Learning, and Assessment at Anglia Ruskin University. We are here today for a special podcast as part of our Innovation Fortnight program that the Council has been running. And today we'll be talking about the virtual simulated placement projects that Annette and Sean have worked on during the pandemic. Without further ado, I'll hand it over to Annette and Sean, and I'll ask the first question of today, which is, what was your innovation and what were the challenges that it addressed?
Thank you, Caleb. Our innovation was the creation of a virtual simulated placement, what we call a VSP, for a group of first year student nurses who couldn't access their placement because of their COVID risk status. Without having this placement, those students would be at risk of intermission or discontinuation. And we were really keen to ensure that their continuation on our course was secured. So what did we do? We developed a 6-week credit bearing placement utilising the NMC COVID-19 recovery standards, and which allows for up to 300 hours of simulated practice. The virtual simulated placement encompassed 1 day a week of skills on our campus and 4 days of online virtual learning utilising action learning sets. The students attended 7.5-hour shifts and they were supervised throughout by practice assessors and supervisors. They were expected to have their cameras on throughout their online learning so we could register their attendance. I'll just talk through our key objectives for that virtual simulated placement, and then I'm going to hand over to Sean. So the key objectives of developing this simulated placement were that we were going to map the placement to the future nurse standards of proficiency for registered nurses, to enable the students to develop nursing skills and work as part of a multi-professional team. We wanted the VSP to be authentic and engaging and to be easily and readily accessible and meet the needs of a very diverse student group. In this situation, adult, child and mental health students shared learning. And we needed it to have a very robust assessment strategy. I'll hand over to Sean to say a little bit more.
I think one of the challenges is we had a very short period of time to actually create this virtual simulated placement. We did look at what was available out there and what other universities had created and what was available as a commercial product. One of the things was that we were looking for something for first year student nurses going out in their first placement, and most of the commercial projects really centered around deteriorating patients, which were more suitable for later year students. So we had a very short time period of 4 weeks before the students needed to go out into placement. And so we had to think very carefully about how we could create this. The actual placement itself was centered around activities of daily living. So this is something that both Annette and I, because we trained in the same place, will be familiar with. We both trained at St Bartholomew's School of Nursing. And the foundation of my training was on Roper Logan and Tierney's activities of daily living. And I think those fundamental principles hold true even now. And for first ward student nurses, those activities of living really are the foundations of what they need to learn. So that's what we centered our simulated placement around.
Perfect. Thanks, Annette. And thanks, Sean. I'll just probe a little bit further into one of those points. You talked about how the some of the technology you used. Can you go a little bit more in depth? I know our members will be keen and maybe unfamiliar with it. So I think it might be helpful if you could speak a little bit more about it.
So we used a range of different technology. The most universities will have a learning management system. The learning management system that exists at Anglia Ruskin is Canvas. So the foundation was based on Canvas, and that's where a lot of the weekly material was centred. We also used Teams, Office 365 Teams, for engagement. It was very different from a normal learning management course in that it was really heavily student involved and engaging. We'd already developed a VR scenario, 360 degrees VR scenario, which is called Hilda's Home, which was filmed in a service user's home, a real service user, who is 85 years old and has multiple disabilities. So she is a wheelchair user, she has diabetes, she has respiratory problems from Guillain-Barré, and she's diabetic. So we were privileged to be able to go in her home and film in each of the rooms. And so we mapped activities of daily living to each room. So in the lounge, for example, it was about building a rapport and getting to know her. In the kitchen, it was about eating and drinking. In the bedroom, sleeping. In the bathroom, elimination. So Canvas is a facility to embed 360 degree virtual reality video in the Canvas site itself. So that is advantageous. Normally with head glasses, you could use the VR headsets, and we do have some Oculus Go headsets on campus, but you can only have one student at a time in those headsets, and it's very expensive. With Canvas, you can embed it in the Canvas site, and you get you can have as many students as you want. And the advantage of that is that over things like a skills lab, is you can repeat it and the students can revisit it as many times as they like, and it's reusable. And we had been privileged to have had some funding from Health Education England before, 3 years previously, to evaluate the impact of the VR on the students. So we already knew from that research funding and project that we had that the use of those VR within Canvas itself actually did improve student empathy and actually student knowledge retention. So we knew it was a good product, and we had that in our back pocket. So we were able to embed that and let students explore, facilitated at the same time by online practice assessors and practice supervisors. So this was not, this was really labor intensive, and it, that is one of the things that need to be aware of. We view this as a placement, and you wouldn't go into placement without actually having your practice supervisor or practice assessor with you. So the practice supervisors and practice assessors were there alongside the students throughout the entire placement all day. So they were able to explore that, explore the rooms. There were activities that were really authentic activities. So for example, if I went into the kitchen, I would do a must nutrition assessment. I would be going into the bathroom and doing a new analysis and recording that. There are activities where we did use CECOL ward, where we were looking at handover, and students handed over to each other and uploaded recordings. We also have just begun to experiment with HoloLens, which is mixed reality simulation. And what we were able to do with the second group of students who did this placement was I was able to go to the service user's home and put the VR headset on. The students then were linked via Dynamics 365 Office Assist into Hilda's actually home, and they were able to interview Hilda with some pre-prepared questions through me, and they could see exactly what I was seeing. And I was also able to walk around Hilda's home with Hilda, and they could experience what it was like to live in a home and look at everything that they had been exploring in virtual reality beforehand. So it kind of brought everything together. It actually, the feedback we've got from that transformed how they will be as future nurses, because it completely transformed how they thought about Hilda as an elderly service user and her needs and her rights and her wishes.
And I think it's a really good question you ask, Caleb, because I think as there's emerging technologies, we have to make sure they fit the teaching and learning that is required and the proficiency requirements of our students. So it's really important that the mapping is done. And what I would say about what we've learned from this experience is it's sort of really, for a VSP, for student nurses, the first year is an ideal place to embed some of this work. Our module for our first year student nurses is quite, it's about essential skills, and all those proficiencies in that practice module ideally suited not only the technologies, but the approach in terms of Hilda's home, looking at eating and drinking and nutrition. But actually, it's interesting, as part from some of those core skills, what I would say are core nursing skills, digital skills are also part of our nursing students' development. And they were in that module pro forma as well. And they were part of the proficiencies. So actually, the students learning through doing online work with these technologies was meeting their proficiencies as well and developing their digital skills at the same time.
We did notice improvements in communication skills. You notice a lot with students, whether that is in a class or online, they like to hide. You know, in class, they will sit at the back of the classroom. Online, they will turn their cameras off and they don't like to talk. But in fact, we insisted 100% of the time, you know, to be marked as attendance, they had to have their cameras on. And there was a lot of communication engagement activities that they had to do. And the students evaluated themselves that their communication skills had improved, and it was profoundly evident that was the case. They became more confident, and part of the evaluation said that actually they wished that this was available for all students, in that it prepared them for future placements in developing their confidence.
So would it be useful for us just to encompass the actual, what it looked like in terms of the, essentially the students did 2 weeks. It was a 6 week, VSP. The first 2 weeks were very much focused on exactly what Sian's described, Hilda's home. And that was when they explored Hilda's home in the first 2 weeks. And then 3 and 4 weeks, they had a virtual insight visit to a mental health placement and CECOL ward, which, Sian, you mentioned CECOL ward, but do you want to actually explain a little bit more about CECOL ward? Because it's an integral part of their experience, and it was a little bit like gaming, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, we're very fortunate in that we have a very clever learning technologist, Paul Driver, that I've worked with a lot. And I know his capabilities and what he can do. I have the specialist nursing knowledge as a nurse, and working with him, we created, it's quite simple really, but very effective. We created a virtual ward, and it had 3 patients on it. They could have been any speciality. I chose gastrointestinal. It could have been anything really. And he is very artistic, and he drew me 3 little bodies in beds, very simple diagrams, but quite effective. And we put them in a boxed ward as a picture on the virtual simulated placement. We then put hotspots on each of the virtual patients, which we made sure had ethnic diversity as well, thinking about all of these needs that we need to encompass with our students. And when you clicked on one of the hotspots you had a handover. So there was a recorded handover that we expected students to try and retain the information. On other hotspots, there was further information about the disease and needs of that particular patient. So it started off with they took the handover and they had to do care planning for those patients on the wards and plan their work for that shift. It actually goes back to problem solving cases. Just again, Annette will be familiar with this from our actual training. This is where I got the idea from. We had problem solving cases. As part of the exams that I had as a student is that we had changes in the exam that we had. Things would happen throughout the shift and you had to change what you were doing. And I remember that from my own nurse training. So we replicated that online and we had incident cards. So there were incident cards that had different situations that could happen. So for example, one of the patient's surgeries was actually cancelled. Another patient fell out of bed. Another patient's temperature went up post surgery. And what the students had to do is in their action learning sets is figure out what they would do, regarding that information, then feed back to the practice supervisor and share that information. So that was developing communication skills. We also asked them to practice handover of those patients to each other and record those handovers, just 2 minute handovers, and upload them so we could evaluate how their communication skills were getting on as well. But there's a lot of different skills that you can actually teach with that and assess.
Perfect. And then finally, there were 2 weeks, weren't there, where they followed a family that they'd been introduced to, the Anderson family, quite early on, and they explored the sort of generational illness and impact of illness within that family as well. And we completed their experience by assessment using the MyPad, Midlands, Yorkshire and East practice assessment, and exploring and ensuring that all the daily learning logs have been completed. They did miniature assessments and they were observed, of course, in the skills labs and evaluated in terms of their professional behaviours by their practice supervisors and assessors throughout the VSP, and that was logged within their MyPad evaluation booklet. Sean, was there anything you wanted to add about last 2 weeks and their assessment?
So the last 2 weeks, we had a lot of service user engagements and also clinical specialists coming in. So they did get that engagement with service users. So within Teams meetings, the Anderson family, they'd met within their theory module. So what we did is we carried on from that and replicated the members of the family with the service users that we actually invited in to speak to them. So the service users had the same conditions as the different members of the Anderson family. And because we were actually having, it was multi, delivery in that we had adult, child and mental health nurses on this module that it encompassed all of them. So we had some service users and some clinical specialists with mental health, some were around paediatrics, some were adult nursing because of different generations in the family. So they got to meet those individuals in reality online and engage with them in the last 2 weeks. And so when we were thinking about the assessment, we had lots of discussions initially and people were saying, oh, maybe we should have an OSCE. And then we went back to the fact that actually this was a practice assessment and therefore the students should have the same assessment as all the students who are going into placement. And therefore the NMC standard for student nurses competencies and the EPAD, which is used nationally pretty much now, or the paper version of it, were what we needed to adhere to. So each of those activities were really carefully thought out in how they can actually achieve the same competencies as they would have achieved in practice. So the skills assessment in the skills lab, the actual interprofessional feedback from those service users and the specialists, the service user feedback, that they were actually engaged with. So it was, and also professionalism, which is a key attribute that we're looking for within all our healthcare professionals, was monitored throughout the engagement. So you're looking at their behaviours within the skills labs, how they engage online, and also do they complete all the tasks? And part of the multiple mini assessments, it was not actually marking or grading things, but actually those little daily tasks that they had to do, whether that was signing off a drugs chart, whether it was actually doing a care plan, whether it was doing a must chart or a new analysis, they had to upload all of those, just little tasks every day, so we could see whether they were doing things, just as if you were on a ward. If I'm your practice supervisor and I ask you to go and do the patient observations, you need to do them. And I expect those to be completed at the end of the shift. You're not necessarily marking each one of those, but you need to see that it's done efficiently.
Yeah, looking for professional behaviours and responsibility, accountability and reliability.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks, Matt. It seems like a very innovative project kind of along the whole timeline of the placement, and I think those sort of added details you've been providing will be exceptionally helpful for our listeners who will be considering whether they might be able to do a similar project. I'll just move slightly over to another side of the project and ask, what effect did the pandemic have on the implementation of your innovation?
I think the innovation wouldn't have happened without the pandemic. It was a response to the pandemic, essentially. Our student nurses had were clinically vulnerable, or maybe in some cases exceptionally vulnerable. They couldn't go to placement. So the pandemic, we were responding to the pandemic, essentially. Trying to avoid intermission or discontinuation of a group of student nurses, which we successfully achieved. I think the pandemic has, I think it's been talked about before that, yes, it's been extremely challenging 2 years, but actually how much have we learned? I mean, we would not have learned all this if it hadn't been for the pandemic. So I think many HEIs and colleagues across the country will be reflecting on, yes, the challenges of the pandemic, but also how we've managed to do things that would have taken us so much longer in a very short period of time. We had to turn this around on a sixpence, basically. It was a response that was needed, a rapid response to a situation. Yes, there are things we need to, as we look forward to improve and to develop the VSP further and to develop additional materials. But actually, this is a response to a unique situation, and we've learnt a huge amount from it.
I have to say, from my perspective, there was a lot of things that I was itching to do but hadn't been unable to do that the pandemic facilitated. So looking back at things like the VR scenarios we'd filmed, I'd always wanted to be, well, for quite a few years, 3 years, we'd have these in our back pocket, and I wanted to be able to use them in this way. But NMC and the European regulations for nurse training didn't permit us to do this. So from my perspective, I was quite excited. So I had a meeting with Annette, and we were talking about what we could do, and I thought, we can do this. I've actually been wanting to do this for some time. I've been wanting to use this scenario that we've already had in this way. So for me, it was exciting, and I was very enthusiastic to get on with it because I'd been itching to do it for a couple of years.
Perfect. Thanks, Sean. It seems like some threads that I and colleagues have been hearing about some of the different innovations where, one, this wouldn't have necessarily happened unless there was the pandemic. But two, just because it's come about from the pandemic doesn't mean we need to revert to the way we were doing it before. There's, excellent learning to be had and improvements that have been made, and we need to continue to use those going forward.
Absolutely.
We've actually got students requesting to go on the virtual simulator placements.
We have.
In preference to, you know.
Yeah.
But actually, real placements are very valid and very important. So I'm not undermining those in any circumstance.
I think we've got to be really judicious as we go forward, and we have to, you know where in the curriculum this works. It has to meet the proficiencies appropriately. It has to be a quality learning experience, and it has to work alongside the reality of practice experience, which you cannot, you can't replace that, the reality of going into practice. But what we can do is prepare students even better than we have done in the past. And this is a really, you know, we've proven through this experience and had sort of evaluation scores, 9.5s, you know, out of 10, I would say, just to be sure. But, you know, really good evaluation scores, and students coming back with comments that we never really expected. We were hoping that they'd be happy, but they were telling us, as Sian suggested earlier, that this placement empowered them. It increased their confidence and competence in ways that they hadn't expected, and they would advise the placement for all new students in the future.
Perfect. I guess you've preempted my question a little bit, but just to continue on that, what are the plans then going forward for this? Obviously, the evaluations have been excellent. So it sounds like something that you would want to continue, but I don't know if that means expansion or continuation, or what does that look like for you guys?
I guess we work to, you know, we have to work within the national context and the sector context and work with our regulators. So we obviously, like many other HEIs, are looking to the future in terms of requesting additional hours of simulation via the NMC RN6 documentation process. So that will be an important part of what we're doing. But even more important is what I've suggested already, which is looking at where we embed this in an appropriate, judicious way within our curriculum and ensure that the experience is a quality learning experience for our students that doesn't replace practice placements, but actually enhances their overall experience within the curriculum and develops practitioners for the future with the skills to make them fit for purpose. So that's where we're at. We've got a lot of work to do because, as I've suggested, you know, there are a huge array of technologies, and it's making sure that we fit the technologies and the approaches to the proficiencies and to the learning outcomes we want to meet. So, you know, it's there's a lot of work to do, and we want to learn from others. So that's why this process of doing the podcasts and being part of the work that the Council of Deans is doing is so important to us, because it's not a lone journey. We need to talk to other people. We need to learn as a sector from each other and, you know, sort of work forward together on this, because we're all doing it in all the across the country, as I'm sure you're aware.
Yeah thanks Anand. I think you hit the nail on the head. There's no real point of doing the innovation if it's just going to be completely siloed, and obviously it'll be beneficial to sort of individual institutions, but the potential for innovation is so much greater when you are hearing about what all the other institutions are doing. And that's kind of the point of this innovation fortnight, so to speak, is just to increase that sort of networking and collaboration as best we can.
Absolutely.
There are aspects of the innovation, for example, Hilda's home SEACOL ward, that I think we could explore the possibility. We do use another platform which is accessible for external people to Anglia Ruskin. I think it would be possible, and something I'd like to explore, about packaging up things like Hilda's home SEACOL ward and making them available. Of course, we are an organisation, a business, but making them available on a business premises to other HEIs. And it's something that I would be happy to explore with the other universities if they'd like to discuss it.
Perfect. I wouldn't be surprised if some listeners try and get in contact later. I'll bring us to our final question of the day then, and just sort of with our listeners in mind, I'll ask, what advice would you give to other institutions looking to implement similar innovations?
Okay, Sean, if I go first and then you chip in, I would say that partnership is key in this, working with our placement partners, our placement providers, because they support all, it's seamless. There's conversations, getting their involvement, service users, getting practice assessors and supervisors was really important. So partnership is key. Always keeping quality at the centre of any innovation. It always has to be about quality, especially in terms of supervisory aspects of the experience. Gain support and endorsement from national, regional and institutional leadership. It's, you know, don't go on your own doing this. You know, Health Education England have been very supportive to us, the East of England team, always very supportive, and you know, sometimes talking things through with teams and across the institution, you get a lot of support and help. And as a team, the other aspect of this is to communicate with the team really well, so everybody knows that you have a shared vision and shared goals, and we all know what we're aiming to achieve and what good will look like, you know, what excellence looks like. I think appropriate resourcing is really important. Ideally, time. Well, that wasn't always on our side in this venture. And as we go forward, I would say it's none of this is cheap. It's costly. So, you know, sort of there are obviously now some funding opportunities. So that's really important to get funding where we can. Because the staff resource, it's very intensive, you know, you need the staff and you need time for people to be actively supervising, mentoring, all throughout the process. So Sean, I'll just hand over to you in case I've missed something.
I absolutely agree with everything Annette says, and fundamentally teamwork, and there was a lot of people involved with the creation of this and actually throughout and running it. And the other aspect I would give in actual creating something from a creative point of view is you need to think about what that student nurse would be doing on a shift at that point in their programme. And that was at the forefront of my mind when I was creating the material. I was having some, you know, I've been a student nurse myself. So I put myself in that student nurse's position and thought about what did I do on my first ward? And thinking about what I did on my first day and creating activities that are authentic and mimic those. The other thing I'd say is that you need to be really creative, because if I am a student nurse going in on a shift, for example, I will make a bed on day one, I'll make a bed on day two, I'll make a bed on day three, I'll make a bed on day four. If you repeat that in a virtual environment, then the students will get rapidly bored. And so you can't repeat things in the same way. Except students can repeat the tasks themselves as they want to. And in effect, I think that helped the students. I think it's a bit like driving lessons, is that some people take 40 days to do 40 lessons, some people take less time. But we actually, with student nurses, we actually base our programs on hours of practice rather than actually on competence. And it's something, I mean, I can be quite controversial about this. I'm going to be, actually, should we be basing it on hours, or should we be basing it on competence and capability? And once a student has actually proved themselves capable and competent, why are they repeating the same tasks? And we could be more efficient with our placements if we were more based on competency and capability than on multiple tasks. And so thinking about the advantages of this as not being always less than, but in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways it is more than, in that you can focus those particular needs on those students in a clinical placement area, the key focus is on the patient service user. It absolutely should be. It's 100% should be on the service user. Within this environment, it was focused on the students and very much on the students. And they were the priority. And that's why, in some ways, they had such a good experience.
Thanks, Sean. I think some of those themes are exactly the sort of ideas that the council advocates for. So we're definitely on your side, so to speak. With that, I'll sadly have to close this podcast. I'd like to thank Annette and Sean so much for joining me today and speaking about their project. It's been really informative, and I'm sure our audience will be grateful as well. I'd also like to thank the audience for tuning in. I hope this has been informative for you guys, and I'd like to just remind them that the other content, podcasts and blogs for the Innovation Fortnight are all available on our website. So feel free, if you get a chance, to listen to those as well. There have been some other great speakers as well, so hopefully those might be informative to you as well. And with that, I'll close the day. Thanks again, and bye-bye for now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.